When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
AM 570 KLAC. 98.7 KYSR HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM
570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, we continue. Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete on AM 570 LA Sports. Rodney, before we hit the top of the hour break, talking about the umpiring in the game yesterday. Tom Walker listens to the show, and he tweeted, thank you, Tom, appreciate it. We love when people send us stuff. And there's a website, I've never heard of this, that judges umpires' accuracy. And they have a report after every game. I don't know if it's done by Major League Baseball or not, but he sent it.
Well, they have their own. Baseball, all the sports have their own evaluations after games and stuff like that. So they do it. But this is an independent site?
I think so. I'm not really sure what it is. I looked it up. It didn't say it was associated with Major League Baseball, but it's pretty accurate. And here's what it said about Phil Cuzzi yesterday. Overall accuracy, 91%. The average is 94%. Overall consistency, 92%. The average is 96%. Three missed calls that were the worst calls. The Justin Turner pitch in the ninth. A pitch to Chris Taylor in the top of the seventh. And another pitch to Justin Turner in the sixth.
Yeah.
And they track this stuff. It's fascinating. And if you look at the square, some of these pitches he called strikes, I'm surprised didn't bang.
Wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't even close.
Yeah. Just had a bad day.
One to Chris Taylor, and then the last one to Justin Turner. Those two were definitely not even close.
Yeah, and you know, he probably feels badly when he realizes it, right?
Well, when he goes back and watches the tape, because again, like I said, they're all evaluated, and I'm sure, you know, the Dodgers write it up and say these were bad calls and send it in, and they look at him, and he looks at him. I'm sure he goes, yeah, I missed that one. I missed that one. It's the ones that the guys that don't agree or like are so stubborn that what are you talking about, you know, the ones that can admit they made mistakes are the ones that you like to see and like to hear, but there's certainly enough of them out there that don't believe they ever make mistakes or bad calls.
It's called umpire scorecards. If you want to follow it on Twitter, I am now a believer and I am following umpire scorecards. All right now let's have some spirituality.
Yes,
we need it after the weekend.
Yes,
we do.
We've
got to start this week right. And to provide that spirituality and then get you caught up on everything that happened today, we welcome on Vic the Brick with the Daily Haiku at 2. And Vic, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Fred.
Hello, Vic.
Good afternoon, Rodney Pete.
VTB. Yes, sir.
Executive producer of the Rogan and Rodney Show. Give it up. Put your hands together. It's Kevin Figures.
Kevin Figures.
Yeah, come on now.
Mm-hmm.
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 And then the ones and the twos and the threes and the fours. This is Ronnie Fazio.
The one and only VTB.
What a gorgeous weekend in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
And how about the hardball in San Diego? Not only was it riveting, you know, for Southern California, the whole country was watching this series. Because everyone knows, you know, how deeply talented both squads are. Everyone was riveted to this compelling series. People are getting it. They see these two teams are really sensational. And could we please show the love for the El Presidente of Baseball Ops, Andrew Friedman, and the amazing Dodgers scouting staff, always coming up with new and fresh and talented ballplayers. Luke Rayleigh, can I get some for Luke? I'm loving me some Luke.
He's a big guy.
So unassuming and selfless. A beautiful swings. Another quality at bat. You know, when Luke goes to the plate, he's like a McKinstry. You know you're going to get a good at bat.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, and no pressure. You know, this was a pressurized series. I mean, I was going nuts. We were all going nuts. I mean, look at me. I'm a wreck. Yep. That 12-inning series, I'm still recovering. 12-inning game Friday, I'm still recovering from. But I think all Dodger fans know this is you know, a prelude, a harbinger, you know, of hardball things to come. We got 16 more games with these guys, four more at the stadium this weekend. I think each game is going to be wild. It's going to be muy loco, and I love it.
You know, that Friday night game, when I went out to do the news at 11:30, the game was still on.
And
I wanted to get the very latest information. So they were watching the game in the other room, and he struck out Tatis, and Jack gave me a signal. I told him to come in. He came in while I was on doing the news from the couch and said, the Dodgers are out of the inning. He just struck out Tatis. I said, thank you, Jack. He came on. He was on TV.
Nice.
Yeah.
Gave nice. I like a nice, nice conduit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Latest info. That's
nice assist, Jack.
Yep. That's I didn't care. Come on in. Just tell us. I'm sitting at home anyway. What's the difference? We want the up-to-the-minute information, Rob.
Up-to-the-minute. Absolutely.
We're not like everybody else. If it happens, we tell you about it that second.
And Fred will show it to you.
That's right, Vic. If it sweats, I sure will.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa.
That was the slogan.
Yes. I remember.
Yep.
You and Fritzy.
I remember those TV mantras.
Yep.
I remember all mantras.
Yes, you do.
Our lives are mantras.
You remember everything.
Mantra me.
Yes.
Mantra me.
Mantra you.
Mantra me.
Well, this haiku for you on this Monday is by Boncho.
B-O-N-C-H-O.
Not, oh, Boncho. No.
Not Boncho.
Not Boncho. Boncho.
Boncho.
Hey, spell it again, Vic.
B-O-N.
Yes.
C-H-O.
Boncho.
Boncho.
Okay. Like honcho, but Boncho.
Exactly. It's haiku on a Monday, April the 20th. Oh, is it the 19th? What is today?
19th. 20th, you know what tomorrow is, Vic. You know tomorrow is definitely 420 now. Come on.
The dates are a blur.
Not tomorrow, Vic.
No, tomorrow will be a blur.
420 will be a blur for everybody.
Right.
I just know we got the Mariners tonight. 6 o'clock, Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck with Tim Cates. 7-ish first pitch. And we got El Gigante Rojo, the big redhead going. That's all I know.
What Rodney's saying is tomorrow you double up on that CBD, Vic. It's 420.
It's 420.
Okay. That's a international, good deal.
International weed day, Vic.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I love it. I thought every day was National Weed Day. Who wrote that? Two shows nightly for Cormier Hilton. Thank you so much. Hello.
Tip your waitress.
And of course, always try the veal.
Yes. As always.
Boncho.
Boncho. In the shimmer of spring air. the Fox Cubs allow their playtime as their parents watch them. I'm feeling you. Buncho.
In the spring, the Fox Cubs play, but their parents keep a close eye. Very much like life, Vic. Very much like human
beings. So true. Well, isn't the wild kingdom life? I mean, look at the pride. Look at the lions. Look at any animal species. And I'm watching a lot of animal shows lately. Don't ask me why.
Why?
But they're fascinating.
Why, Vic?
Aren't they? Do you guys watch animal shows on, Wild Kingdom?
Love them.
Aren't they great?
Yes.
It's
Why are you watching them so much lately, Vic?
I don't know. I'm addicted. It's a cycle of life, but it's so bloodthirsty. I mean, you see 10 lions, noshing on a hippo. It's like, okay, they got to eat. It's like I feel bad for the hippo, but I'm saying out in
poor hippo.
Poor hippo. Out in the wild, they all got to eat. And, it's the cycle of life. Vic, and it's wild. It's just wild to me.
Vic, I don't want to see a lion eating a hippo. Maybe it's just me.
Well, it's like 10 of them. We'll sit down and nosh. It's like a smorgasbord.
Oh, yeah, and the worst part is a lot of times the animal isn't fully dead yet as they start eating it.
Oh, my God.
Oh yeah, it's al dente.
Al dente. Al dente.
That is so disturbing, man.
It's very disturbing. I know. The animal kingdom can be very disturbing. It's also very beautiful, but if you watch these animal shows and you see them in the wild, it's nuts what goes on out there.
Yeah, well, that's why they're animals.
Nuts.
Yeah, they're animals.
Nuts.
Yes. You're telling me.
They actually eat the animal that's not dead?
It is disturbing, but when you break it down, it is a cycle of life. I don't, what are the lions going to do if they don't, track down a gazelle? They got to eat. No one's feeding the lions in Swahili land.
That's true, Vic.
They got to eat.
That's true. The lion got to eat.
Do you watch any?
It's lit. Stories lighting up the sports headlines.
I'm sorry, Kevin, go ahead.
It's okay.
What were you going to say?
I was going to ask Vic if he watches any pleasant interactions when it comes to these animals.
Yeah.
You watched a Bambi being born or something, or you have a nice fawn family just frolicking around or something. Is it always just death and destruction, Vic?
Oh, no. There's some beautiful scenes of the birth in the wild and how, the mom takes care of them and nurtures them until they're able to leave the area, or the birds taking care of their young before they fling them out into the wild. There's always a cold, cruel truth. There's a point where the young bloods have to leave the nest. That's a tough moment.
Do they come back and visit for holidays?
They come back for Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to make sure. It's brought to you by Jacob Amrani.
Accident or injury, call Jacob Amrani. Call Jacob.
Popular topic lately has been the MVP race in the NBA. Joel Embiid has been playing great since he's been back in the lineup. Had a big game against the Clippers on Friday night. He's thought of as a front runner by many. Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets have been surging recently. He's playing well and thought of as a front runner. But we have to throw another hat into the ring. And this comes courtesy of our guy Magic Johnson, who tweeted out yesterday, "It's hard to deny Steph Curry from being the NBA's MVP. He's the number one, number two, and number three option for Golden State and still dominating." Now, for context, Fred, he's averaging a career-high 31 points, well on his way to being part of that, 50, 40, 90 club, which is very exclusive. He's done it once in his career. Some of the all-time greats, Steve Nash has done it. Some really, really good players in the history of the sport have done it. Shooting 49% from the field, 42% from three, 92% from the free throw line. If you ask me how the team is performing, they are 28-29 and currently in the ninth seed, Fred.
Well, his performance would indicate, he should be right there. Hadn't he had like 5 30-point games in a row or something
yes,
as well?
Yes, he's tied Kobe, or maybe surpassed it by this point. I believe he's tied Kobe for most consecutive 30-point games in a row by someone who's over the age of 33.
And the thing is, so LeBron's not, LeBron's out. He's been hurt. He can't win.
I feel like he would have missed too many games.
Too many games. At this point. It is.
And did Embiid miss too many games?
Some are saying no. Some are saying no.
Because now, if they say Embiid played enough games, he wins.
Not necessarily, by the way. There's a Jokic camp as well. Yeah. And he hasn't missed many games. Why is he in?
I would see Steph Curry over Jokic.
Why and how?
Because I think Steph Curry's just had a better year. Steph Curry really has had a good
year. Nikola Jokic is leading them in every statistical category.
Yeah.
And had how many triple-doubles this year?
Yeah, but Steph Curry's more excited.
All right, well, you know, your criteria, Fred.
Right. I go with who's exciting.
Okay.
What do you think, Rodney?
Yeah, it's the question is going to be about Embiid. I think LeBron definitely is too far gone in terms of missing games. Embiid, we'll see if he has or hasn't. But no, you can't deny what Steph Curry has done this season and doing it without a Klay Thompson and really putting that team on his back night in and night out. The only reason they have a chance is because the way he's been playing. Yes, they're in the night seat, but they have beaten some pretty good teams in this last stretch. So I wouldn't put it past the one thing that always comes up, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, it should, is people always look at, well, where are they in the standings?
Right.
They make the playoffs, and, you know, why are they in the ninth seed? So how can he be the MVP if the team is not, you know, doing extremely well? Which is not always the case, because you can have a fantastic year and go off and go crazy and just be on a bad team.
I'm throwing an ex-Laker into the MVP candidate ring.
Who is it?
I know who it's going to be.
Julius Randle.
I knew it.
Enjoying an amazing All-Star season. Knicks have won 6 in a row. The Knicks are the most improbable squad in the association, the best defensive team in the league, spearheaded by Julius Randle, Drew Randle, who has yet to be bar mitzvahed. Drew Randle isn't just having a year.
Vicky is what? Yet to be what?
Yet to be bar mitzvahed. Drew Randle, he has been almost unstoppable. He's a force every night. He takes, you know, this Knicks squad, very limited offensively, on his back. Everyone knows Julius Randle is going to, you know, take the bulk of the shots. They double-team him, can't stop him. He's developed his game, unlike, you know, with the Lakers, he was still searching. But now he's found it. He's found the way. I'm putting Julius Randle into the MVP mix, along with your Embiid and your Curry. I'm voting for Drew Randle.
Mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, a story out of the NFL. Alex Smith, who of course was the comeback player of the year last year, had a great comeback after almost having his leg amputated after that gruesome injury he had in 2018. Officially announcing that he's hanging him up, 36 years old. He says, after 16 years of giving this game everything I've got, I can't wait to see what else is possible. Remember, a start to his career, he was taken first overall out of Utah and had an up and down start to his career, different offensive coordinator every year before he eventually found it and turned out to be a really good starting quarterback in the NFL.
Well, just because you're picked high and you need coaching, you need training, you need to feel secure. Rodney, you can speak to that better than anybody. You know, it's always not the right fit, and you've said that. Wherever you go, that's where you're at, and that might not be the best place for you. And also, the deck might be stacked against you.
Yeah, at that time, San Francisco initially wasn't a great club. And then, you know, Harbaugh gets there and turns the culture around, and he has a good year. As he, you know, had the great run in the playoff game that won the game for him. But they had another guy, kind of like he's the guy that kind of prepares the next superstar, and he had another guy behind him, Colin Kaepernick, who Jim Harbaugh liked, and so off goes Alex Smith, and Kansas City gets him, and then they love a guy named Patrick Mahomes. So it's kind of been tough. It, you know, it is where you land. I mean, that's the guys that have gone through Cincinnati's, you know, the Jets with Sam Darnold. It's not as high you pick. It's where you go. And some guys get out in time to go make a career for themselves. But he has carved out a great career. Just for him to come back from that injury that he had where they weren't sure if he was going to be able to keep his leg and come back and play is incredible in its own right. So happy in his retirement. Great career, Alex Smith.
Oh, I bow down to Alex Smith. Exactly, Rodney. That injury was so insanely, as you say, kayfabe, gruesome. And for him to come back, I mean, they wanted to amputate his leg, and he refused. But the doctors wanted to amputate Alex's leg. And for him to come back and have success is such an amazing success story. I mean, you know, the Four Letters has done specials on it. And he will be a folk hero for the rest of football history, I believe. I put him in the Hall of Fame. Again, numbers mean nothing to me in the Hall of Fame. Can you talk about the history of the game without this athlete? And you cannot talk the history of the National Football League without Alex Smith. How he came back, that resiliency, that insane bamboo quality to his life. Oh, I bow down to Alex. We love you, Alex. Great career. Enjoy your next career. You're going to have great success. Great success, Alex.
Well, Lamar Jackson's career is just starting. Already got himself an MVP under his belt, but has been criticized for not being the best passer by many people. But apparently in Baltimore, the sentiment is not so much that he's not a great passer, is that he doesn't have enough around him, and the receivers aren't good enough. And they're taking shots at the receiver themselves, as well as general manager Eric DaCosta. And he had his press conference earlier today as they're getting ready for the draft here in a couple of weeks. He said, quote, "I'm aware that there's some fan discontent with our wide receivers and our drafting and all of that. It's insulting to these guys when they hear we don't have any receivers. It's very insulting. I'm insulted by it, too, to be honest. We've got some guys that really want to show everybody what they can do. The Ravens and Washington are the only teams since 1996 who have not drafted a Pro Bowl receiver. I guess, Fred, who should be more insulted by the vitriol? Should it be the receivers themselves, or should it be Eric DaCosta, who selected the receivers in the draft?"
I can't split it. I can't go 50-50.
Sure you can.
The receiver should be absolutely insulted. I mean, as Rodney would say, those guys get paid. They show up to play. They're NFL receivers. As for the general manager, who hasn't been able to pull the trigger on anybody that the fan base considers worthy, he should be insulted because the Ravens, you know, they're in the conversation every year. They're not just competitive. They're there. I think the whole thing's insulting, Rodney.
It is. Didn't they draft Hollywood Brown not too long ago from Oklahoma?
Before last year. Right.
Yeah, so he's up and coming. That's one thing you do. If you have a young superstar quarterback, two things. You got to draft offensive linemen, Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. They're going to get that kid killed. And you got to get him some weapons. You got to get him some weapons around it. Not everybody. Lamar's not going to be able to do that forever. And we found how disgruntled and tough it can be with Russell Wilson up in Seattle, just begging for some weapons. Because a good quarterback in this league that is at that level, you know, you don't know how long they're going to last. So put some weapons around him and let him go to work.
Exactly. Baltimore drafts well, but they don't draft wide receivers well. I mean, they're always in the playoff hunt, because they have an excellent defense, but their playmakers at the wide out position is always weak. So they've got to focus and help Lamar out. I agree with the fans, but their defense is so strong and keeps them in the games. But yeah, You've got to help Lamar out. You're not the Jets. You're Baltimore. You're the Ravens. You're tough. You're in the playoff picture every year. You're not the Jets, who are in the sewer every year.
Had to take the shot at the Jets out the door.
Yeah.
But also lighting up the headlines.
Kevin's been great.
All right, USC spring football. They had their game. People were actually there.
Yes.
And Clay Helton, every year, it's a question of, is he going to hold on to his job? Is this the year he's got to win it all? We'll get into it next.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Yes, you are. Rodney Pete, Fred Rogan. Coming at ya. Oh, good, Freddie, on a Monday. It feels good on a Monday. Beautiful, beautiful Monday.
Yep. Over the weekend, USC had a football game. Fans were in attendance. And so was Ryan Abraham of USCFootball.com. Ryan, thank you for coming on today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, let's break it down. USC, the spring game. Not a lot of offense in that game for the Trojans.
There wasn't, you know, but what I liked was there was an actual game. So we haven't seen that for several years. They did four quarters. They actually drafted teams, so they split guys up. They had offensive coordinator Graham Harrell, head coach one side, and they had defensive coordinator Todd Orlando do the other side. I felt it was important to get out there and be competitive and show that they've been more physical this spring. I think we saw a lot of that. The defense certainly looked ahead of the offense, and there were some, you know, some bright plays, there were some bad plays. But overall, I like the format a little bit better. It's weird that it's still in the middle of spring practice. They got two more weeks. But I did like the fact, Fred, that they did have an actual game.
Yeah, and what was the atmosphere like out there? I didn't get a chance to go out and hang out, but what was the atmosphere like? I know people, like you said, people probably excited to be out there again.
Yeah, they were. So I talked to a bunch of fans. They were going to allow 5,000 fans in the Coliseum all on the press box side, just looking up from the press box. We got to cover games, you know, last fall, and that felt about the same where you weren't really – there wasn't any food in the press box. You have to stay in your own spot, and you have to be distant from everybody. But the difference was there was actual people in the stands. They allowed friends and family, season ticket holders had an opportunity. They said up to 5,000. Didn't look like there was that many people, but you did feel a little bit different being in the Coliseum and at least having some fans out there being able to cheer and, you know, cheer for different guys. So it just felt like, okay, we're kind of getting one step closer to normalcy, I guess. So that was actually a really nice aspect of it, seeing some fans in the Coliseum again.
All right, so it's a question that we have to ask before we get to the players. Clay Helton. Is Clay Helton on the hot seat again?
I mean, it's hard to not have him on the hot seat. I think, you know, winning the Pac-12 South was, you know, was all right for 2020. It was a weird season, but I think that was a year, to me, you needed to win the whole conference. And so I feel like that's where the Trojans have to be in 2021. The schedule set up very well. So I think it's one of those things where if USC wins the Pac-12, you can take some of the heat off of Clay Helton. If not, I think the heat will be turned up even more. But everything is set up. The roster's, you know, still looking really good. I think, you know, year two in the defense where they actually have time to install these new systems for all the new coaches. Everything seems to be setting up for USC with a couple of, you know, important games, the one being the Notre Dame game on the road. But you don't have Alabama anymore. You don't have Oregon. You don't have Washington. The schedule's set up really well, guys. And so it's pretty much, you know, win the Pac-12 or bust for me in 2021.
Yeah, I would think so. And you look back to last year, Ryan. How was last year viewed? I know, you know, you just mentioned you got to win it all. They won the South. But it wasn't a dominant win of the South. Obviously, they won some games in the last second and last minute. And then obviously lost to Oregon handily in the championship game and then opted out of the bowl. So just overall, how was last year viewed? I mean, I know it was an anomaly because of the pandemic and all that stuff, but is that just a wash? And like you said, now this is a year where the schedule is in their favor and they really have to take a big step forward.
Yeah, I think for last year, I mean, personally, I was saying the season was a failure because this was a year you needed to win the Pac-12. You got basically took your schedule, cut it in half, and lopped off the hardest part, and then you didn't even have to play the team that won the North, and you got to play a second-place team in Oregon who had lost to Cal and Oregon State. So to me, losing that game and the championship game at home in the Coliseum was inexcusable. But I think you know, overall, if you're a member of the athletic department, you're kind of given the whole season a pass. And there wasn't going to be major consequences when you come down at, you know, 5-1 on the season. Now, yeah, some of those games were miracle wins at the end. I think you kind of wipe all that away now. And, you know, you don't get a lot of kudos for winning the Pac-12 South last year. You have to bring it forward, win it again. You know, it's going to be some, you know, tough getting through UCLA and Utah and Arizona State. I think all those teams can be pretty good. But USC will be the most talented team. And then, you know, the Pac-12 North, there's just not a lot of quarterbacks coming back. You know, if you think Washington's a favorite, Oregon, you know, they're going to be bringing in new guys. So for USC, you got the established quarterback. You got still established, you know, skill players. The defense should be a lot better. It's really USC's conference to lose. So I feel like there will be more pressure on, you know, the coaching staff to do well, because last year, like you said, you can kind of, you know, whatever. It was a pandemic. This year, everything's going to set up. It should be more normal. And like I said, USC probably, you know, should win the Pac-12.
Ryan Abraham, USCFootball.com. With us, Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, AM 570, LA Sports. How did Keaton Slovis look?
He looked all right. You know, if you watch him throwing the football, I like the way he's throwing it better now than what we saw last fall. He was still pretty good last year, but some of the balls just wobbled a little bit. We got to see, you know, a bunch of quarterbacks get out there and play, and, you know, they all had their good moments and bad moments, and there were some great plays Slovis made. And he threw a pretty bad interception. They underthrew the ball, and Dorian Hewett made a nice play on it. But if you look at the football coming off his hands, it does look better. And he worked with, you know, the quarterback guru and pitching guru Tom House in the offseason, you know, some of his footwork and some of his lower body stuff. I think that's helped him a lot. He seems a little bit more confident. They're not quite there yet, and part of it's because the guys blocking in front of him are letting a lot of pressure through. But for the most part, I mean, he did all right. You know, Jackson Dart, Miller Moss. Jackson Dart, I think the true freshman, played, you know, well, he probably played the best of the quarterbacks. But, you know, Keaton Slovis, he's still Keaton Slovis. Just, you know, we're going to have to see some more opportunities for him for the rest of spring and in the fall.
Yeah, and this is the year for him, right? You know, he burst on the scene as a freshman, bumps JT Daniels, makes him transfer to Georgia. Last year, as you mentioned, was kind of a wash. But now with his third year here, the expectations are tremendously high, as they are with his team, but more importantly, really on him.
Yeah, he does have high expectations because he had such a breakout year that freshman year, and no one was sort of ready for Keaton Slovis. Everyone was preparing for JT Daniels, and he takes over in the, you know, middle of the first game and, you know, throws for 400 yards for the last five games. It was crazy, and I think people were more geared up to kind of contain him in 2020. Plus, he had that weird offseason. He didn't really get to do that much and just didn't quite work out. I feel like things have been reset. When you talk to him, you talk to Graham Harrell and Clay Helton, they seem to be a lot more confident in his abilities. I think having this full offseason to be ready as the starting quarterback and not just the guy coming in off the bench, I think things are setting up well for him. So I have high expectations, I guess you could say, for Keaton Slovis. I think he's going to have a really big year, similar to what we saw in 2019.
Yeah, and you mentioned offensive line, which is a question, and you know, keeping him upright, it's always good, I guess, when you have some issues at offensive line. You got a veteran quarterback that can kind of get you out of situations. But talk about the receiving core, because that's a group that, of emphasis. Obviously, talent-wise, they're there, but experience-wise, not so much.
Yeah, so you lose Tyler Vaughn, you know, a lot of experience there. You lose Amon-Ra St. Brown, you know, probably going to be third-round pick, second-round pick, something like that. I mean, some, you know, a lot of production is gone. But Drake London is back. If you watched him during the spring game, you know, the quarterbacks on his team basically just throw it up to him anywhere, and he could go up and catch it. He's definitely the stud on this team. But you saw some of the young guys like Michael Jackson III. He had a nice fade pass from Jackson Dart for a touchdown. He had another good catch in there. We saw Brew McCoy catch a touchdown pass. He's a former five-star kid, transferred in from, you know, he went to Texas, and, you know, he's committed to USC, went to Texas, came back. He's kind of had a weird career, but he was just, his first day in pads was Saturday, and his first touch was a touchdown pass. So I like Kyle Ford a lot. He's still coming back off of a knee injury. We'll see him in the fall, and, you know, guys like Gary Bryant Jr. got a lot of speed. So I think there's a good group of receivers. They're not really deep right now, so you're seeing more tight ends. You're seeing more two running back sets because they just don't have as many wide receiver bodies in the spring. But by the time the fall rolls around, there should be plenty of targets for Keaton Slovis to throw to. But, man, you got to go with Drake London to start with, man. He is just an absolute stud out there.
All right, Ryan, who else impressed? Who else should Trojan football fans keep an eye out for?
So I would say if you look at, you know, we mentioned some of the guys like Jackson Dart. Stephen Carr actually had a really good spring, probably his best practice. The running back, the former five-star, he had a 26-yard run, which was the longest of the game, and just looked like the old kind of Stephen Carr. So I like the way he ran. But there's a transfer, Keontae Ingram, who looks like he could be a starting running back. He's another transfer from Texas, and he had that 49-yard run off of a little dump-off pass and made a whole bunch of guys miss. And the only reason he got tackled is one of his tight ends got in his way. He hit him, but he looked really good. Number 28 out there if you want to check it out. But Drake Jackson, is basically, if your name is Drake, you did well. But Drake, no, Drake London, but Drake Jackson, he was amazing. I mean, he's just going to be a beast. Number 99 out there. You know, he got it. There was a whole bunch of sacks. You know, they're these virtual sacks if you just get close to the quarterback, which, you know, I'm sure Rodney doesn't like when you know, just get someone gets near you and they call it a sack. But
no,
he was like doing that. Yeah. Oh, you like it? Okay. So you don't want to get the guy hurt, right?
I don't like it. I don't like it.
Oh, you don't? I'm sorry. Yeah. It's well, because especially if you remember, like, when Sam Darnold was at USC and when he took over, those virtual sacks in practice weren't in games. Like, he got away, and not only got away, he didn't, like, run for 2 yards. He ran, he got away and threw the ball downfield for 35 yards and got a big chunk gain. So, yeah, I think they have some athleticism, like a guy like Jackson Dart. Maybe he could have done some more stuff if they weren't virtual sack. But Drake Jackson's been a big part of it. But the whole defensive line, Dijon Benton, Jay Toya, Tuli Tuipulotu, a bunch of guys that, you know, maybe you don't, they're not household names. I think they were all playing well. And Vic Saoto, the new defensive line coach, is awesome. Just watch him out there with his sleeves cut off. He's yelling sack, sack, sack all the time. He's brought a new level of energy for this defensive line. So even though you lose some guys, they lose Brandon Peely for the year with an Achilles. They got some really young studs on the defensive line. I think that's one area you guys want to watch this year.
All right, final question. Did the homeless guy play?
Fred, stop it.
Didn't see him out there, Fred. But
all right, just wondering.
Who knows? Yeah, they don't tell us everything, but yeah, didn't see anyone else. But wasn't supposed to be there out there.
Okay. Ryan Abraham, USCFootball.com. Always great checking in with you, man. Thanks for the info.
Thanks, guys.
Always appreciate it when Ryan jumps on.
It'll good stuff, always.
Yeah, yes. It'll be interesting to see what happens when we get to the Pac-12 season. Clay Helton, always one step away from being a hero or losing his job.
He's a survivor, Fred.
That he is. All right, we're back, and we've got to do the sad sack today. Got to do it.
Why do you say like you're disappointed, but you actually love it?
Yeah, well, you know, there's a fine line between love and hate. And
That's what they say.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I mean, that is just sad.
Sad sack of the day.
Yeah, we'd be remiss if we didn't get this in.
Of course you would, Fred.
Sad sack of the day. New Orleans Pelican forward James Johnson, 12-year vet, had a night to forget. He made just one of his 9 field goal attempts, 2 points, in the team's loss to the Knicks yesterday. That loss drops the Pelicans to 25-32, 4 games behind San Antonio for the final play-in spot in the West. Your sad sack of the day. Well done, James Johnson of the Pelicans.
Way off the Pelicans.
I thought this was the Pelicans' year. I thought this was it. 4 games.
It's the year of the Knicks. You see the Knicks game against the Pelicans? The Knicks are on a roll.
Yeah, Tom
they got
Thibodeau.
It going.
Tom Thibodeau. Right, they finally brought somebody in there that was going to line everybody up and not take any crap.
Yeah.
And he's doing it, which means he'll get fired next year by James Dolan. Dodgers take on the Mariners tonight in Seattle with first pitch at 7 p.m. You can listen to the game in HD on the free iHeartRadio app. Brought to you by Chef Marito Seasoning. It's not true Mexican meal without Chef Marito Seasoning. Check out the over 20 varieties at chefmarito.com. Available at your local grocery store. Rodney, thank you. Kevin, great job as always. Rodney, we're off tomorrow for Dodger baseball, so we'll be back Wednesday.
See you Wednesday.
Yep.
Bargain ain't an option now, so I'm stressing. Cost me more to be free than a life in the pen. Making money off of cuss words, writing again. Learn how to think ahead, so I fight with my pen. Late night, down sunset, like in the sin. What's the worst they can do to a player? Got me lost in hell to live and die in L.A. on bail. My people say, to live and die in L.A.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.